Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. This episode of The Authentic Life with KL is brought to you by Break the Silence, a nonprofit created using music as a platform to raise awareness for mental health, suicide prevention, and recovery of all kinds, offering hope and starting the hard conversations to bring communities together. Hey guys, it's Kitty. Today I have with me Jared William Gottberg. How are you? Thank you for joining me.
Quite well. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Well, I want to have you maybe introduce yourself a little bit to those of you that may, those of us that may not know you as well. Can you tell us a little bit about you?
Oh my.
Is that a loaded question?
It can be. We'll see how. I'm a Midwestern native musician. I'm in several groups and rock and roll kind of based groups. And I try to write out of personal experience, and mental health is a big subject that I write about. And a lot of it is mostly my struggles that, you know, I've tried to, well, some of them I find my way through, some I'm still struggling with, but yeah. I'm pretty much, I just play music and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. You do a lot of different projects and things like that, I saw. So I'm excited to learn more on it. Yeah. So I'll just dive kind of into some of the questions here. When the world feels super heavy, because let's be real, it is, it is a lot. And in the group and community that I teach in, we always say we like to go into our cave, and that's not always the best place to be. But when it does get heavy like that, what inspires you to keep going?
I have a fantastic family. So that is 100% one of the biggest things is having a great support system, which a lot of people don't have. And I try to really focus on gratitude, and it begins right there with the family, and just kind of reminding myself that every day is a new day, and it pretty much comes down to, you know, life can be what you make of it. And no matter how tough things get, I don't always handle them great, but practice makes perfect, I suppose. And just reminding yourself of the little things that you love and cherish in life can really help you get through some bad stuff.
So. Yeah, it really does. I've tried so many different ways, I think, to continue to bring gratefulness into my journey, because the days that I have the shittier days are the days that I have not been grateful for anything. And it's completely different when you're able to focus. And I know that we can't focus on it sometimes every day because life happens, but the days that you really can, it seems like everything's happening really great.
Yeah. Yeah. Manifest yourself a good day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there a particular person or time or story that reminds you of why you even started as an artist and as a musician?
Back to family. I'm from a pretty musical family where my grandmother played organ for my grandfather's church. So real early on, you know, she had put all of her kids, my dad and his sisters, into music early. And so he did the same thing with myself and my three brothers. And the way he would put it is he sentenced us all to 5 years of piano. And I'm one of the couple that stuck with it. But yeah, really it comes down to the matriarch, my grandmother, and she made it so fun for us, because any time she would come around, she would bust out whatever we were into. I remember her playing NSYNC for us when I was probably 5, 6 years old, and she just sight read it and knocked it out of the park, and I was just mind blown. And So them being the driving force of it was definitely started the fire.
I love that. I love that. I actually have grandchildren myself, and we have my husband plays music, and we have guitars just all over the house, and I can't play any instrument. And now I'll sing along to any song or sing in the shower or whatever. But my granddaughter is obsessed with the guitar, and so she'll bring it to me. And like I said, I can't sing really or anything, but I will strum it and make no sense whatsoever. And I'll say, "Grandpa thinks he's a rock star, but he's not." like, well, we, do a lot of smack talk, and so now that's her song called Rock Star Song. She wants the rock star song, and she's just 2 and a half, and it's just really funny because I hear stories about grandmas and stuff like that, and I'm a way different grandma than I was a mom, and so I love when I hear stories about grandmas that make things more fun. That way, you kind of stick with it, so that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
She's her own rock star for sure. She's
Yeah.
just getting close to 90 years old now, and she still comes out and sees me play. And I think actually next Thursday she's going to be coming to a little dinner gig I have, and just cracks me up.
What a gift. What a gift, really, for her to have you and for you to have her still and she get out there. That's a gift. That is a gift.
Grateful for that for sure.
Do you believe emotions allow you to create better art, just personally and then overall for other artists?
Personally, for me, I'm an emotionally driven person, so I would say 100% it's a factor, but you have to be able to regulate it into the medium, and then that's where I guess the broad spectrum, it takes a lot of practice to be able to sit with emotions and be able to kind of pull them apart and figure out what's going on as it is, and then transferring that into the medium of music is that part of the process is really difficult until you start to develop your own formula. And I don't think it necessarily has to be emotionally driven, but it will alter the shape of a song if you feel more about it, that's for certain.
So you use it kind of as a transmutation kind of tool to filter in your emotions out of your body into something beautiful. I mean,
In a lot of
sometimes,
cases, yes. There's
yeah.
all sorts of different types of songs. With the several projects, it's because I don't know, I have music ADD, if you will. I just want to do everything at once. But the solo music that I create, I do have a record coming out the end of this year, early next year, I think. That's all a mental health piece, and that was extremely emotionally charged, and making that record actually probably saved my life.
Well, that's interesting because that's actually one of my next questions. I was just going to say, I openly talk about music being a lifeline. That's one of my things that I always say is sometimes a lyric can be a lifeline. Is there a time in your life to where your music, your own music, has been a lifeline for you?
Oh yes, I got a little story for you on this. So this would have been 2021. I had lucked into this opportunity to go do a record in Mexico City, Mexico, and it kind of opened the door. I met my soulmate in production, and we've made I think 44, 45 songs together now. And in that year, right after I had gone back for a second trip and got home from that and went through a really horrendous breakup. And it had crushed me. And it was a time where I'd never felt that before, that kind of pain. And it just the magic of the universe. I had an opportunity to go for a whole month, and I took it and ended up doing this record that I'm currently releasing, and then that mental health piece as well. And I was down there for a month on my own, learning Spanish, and the process was gritty. It was really tough. It's a gritty record. It's Without doing that, I don't know if I would have been able to get through that period of time in a healthy way, for
Right.
certain.
I talk often about the journey, I guess, within on our healing is sometimes the tallest mountain. And it's, I know people are like, well, just heal, it's fine. But healing is gross. Like it is.
It's so gross. It's very messy, very messy. And not even necessarily just healing, but the growth in itself. Just it's maybe it is still involving healing, but in the big picture, if you want to get to that next level, there's that I don't know if you've seen much about it, but the learning space where the frustration and all of that angst is present, and it just oh, it is gross. Yes.
It is. Now, we talk a lot about the whole aspect of like you're not even the same person. One, like you have to forgive yourself for the stupid crap that you did when you didn't know better, or maybe you did know better or whatever, but it's like there's so much emotion that's tied up into it, and when you can step back and kind of see the reasonings, if there is a reason, it's so interesting to me for that to be part of our story and part of our learning and our growth and our journey is to kind of see our growth and kind of how it just happens, you know, if you are willing to do the work. Now, it doesn't happen easy. It's not easy.
Especially since we are not equipped with the information on how to do it until really, I find, until you start seeking the growth. That's, when it starts to pop up for you, and maybe you start listening better to what people have said. The amount of times I've been like, oh, shit, that's what mom and dad meant right there. But it's, if I could have one gripe in the world, it would be the fact that, from an early age on, we are not prepared to look within and sit with ourselves and, kind of refine those things that we need to work on. We're kind of just thrust into the world without the equipment we need to be able to become better people.
Yeah, it's true. And then everyone that we're around that we're taking advice from is the same situation, mirror the same, but different, you know, mirror all these different parts of us back. And it's definitely something that's lacking just in humanity is having that grace and that empathy to let people heal and understand where people are coming from instead of jumping on them too. I think that it is something that's lacking as well. I would have to agree. Have to agree. What message do you hope listeners walk away with after listening to your songs? I know you have a broad variety, and so there's all different kinds of emotion, you know, not just here I'm healing. There's all different kinds of music, you know.
Yeah, you might have to read between the lines on a few. Truthfully, just contemplate everything. Be open and contemplate everything. Nothing is really as it seems in this life, and don't take anything for face value because there's always something driving whatever the situation is that you likely are not familiar with or can't relate to or. And that's, I suppose, with other people, but contemplate everything, the within and the without.
Yeah. That's, do you think that contemplating and thinking about things is something that's missing a lot with people?
Yes, and I do. I think it goes back to the fact that we are not taught how, because there's definitely a difference between contemplating and ruminating. Because ruminating can make things much heavier, much worse. And I know somebody very well that struggles with that. And it's, people say, you have to sit in the emotion and be with it. There's a fine line between contemplating and ruminating for sure. And we just are ill-equipped to be able to do it until a lot of the times it takes a light bulb moment on. Aha, there it is. That's why I've been feeling this way. That's what's going on. And we are lacking for certain in those things, in that information stream. And I'd like to see more of that in the world. That's kind of why I put out the music I do, is to hopefully get people thinking a little bit and feeling a little bit.
Yeah, I connect with that very much because I am one like I'll have that one thought, and then it doesn't matter. It's like it just circles around, and I'm like, all right, what am I feeling? And then you're like, okay, I see you. I feel rejected or whatever. You kind of call it out or find out what it is, and then it's easier to identify. But even on those day, on days when I say I'm weak on these days, because then it'll catch me off guard, and I'm like, oh, man, I thought that I was over that, and it just caught me off guard. I think that we can start chatting about your songs if you're all right with that. Yes. Happy Hour, which is with your one of your projects called The Party After. We're going to talk about Happy Hour. And when I listen to the song, it's kind of like, is it a celebration? Is it somber? You hear Happy Hour, and of course, a lot of people think Happy Hour, but then when you dive a little deeper into the music, you kind of see a different story if you're looking for a different story. Do you mind sharing behind that?
So being in the Midwest, we play, I do a lot of shows in small towns, and you kind of see the, and I'm sure it's consistent everywhere else too, but it's a picture painted around a type of character that is a typical bar fly that has never really left their hometown, has not, basically someone that has refused experience and growth. They stayed in that same cycle. And so that the line, it's happy hour in hell, is kind of where that comes from, where, one of the oldest depictions of hell is, reliving the same thing over and over and over again. And I think there's quite a few people that, because of the comfort of familiarity, get stuck in that cycle, and they almost push it off onto others. And there's some lyrics in there about kind of talking about glory days and all these things that keep people stuck in that cycle because they feel like they can't be any better than it used to be, those highest highs of their life. And I'm one that I really challenge. I try to challenge myself to never believe that I've hit the peak. And that's, I remember being in a group when I was maybe 19 years old, and one of the band members had said, "Well, we open for this band, I can die happy." And I'm like, but where's the desire to go further? Like, that if you're gonna be settling, you're gonna, stay in that same ruminous cycle.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot to be said about that, and of course we'll go back to growth. It is, I think that a lot of times people are scared, to step out of something that they don't know, because let's be honest, it's terrifying to step outside and do something you don't know, because in our subconscious, in some weird way, the stuff that's not actually healthy for us, which is to stay, feel safe, which is not, and then stepping out of your comfort zone is actually what's safe. It's not danger. I mean, it could be, but you have to go and do to see. So it's just this weird, balance of the way that our subconscious plays tricks on our mind,
You can ruminate on, and back to it, circle back.
Yeah.
But you can ruminate on good things as well. And that is, I think, kind of what you're talking about there, where, that safety net and thinking about it, you start thinking about the details of what's on the outside of that, and oh, this and this could be happening, this could be happening. Yeah, you can die in your sleep, dude. Do something.
People, we just as humans get way too comfortable in comfort. And I have a saying at work, up on like my printer, and it says, if you're comfortable, you're not growing and you're not moving. And it's like, to be uncomfortable is so uncomfortable for me. So it pushes me to try and step outside that box more. And I think the more people do it, I haven't found that it gets easier for me. It really doesn't, but I do force myself to do it.
Well, and there's a part of your brain that if you force yourself to do things you don't want to do or find scary, will actually grow. It's really interesting that, like, have you ever done any gardening? So certain seeds, you have to kind of help them along. And I don't know if you've heard the term scarring a seed, but you have to scar a seed to help it grow sometimes. And that's kind of what we really are. It's just, little blossoms waiting to blossom.
That's so funny. And I have to tell you this because I'm a universe person. And this whole last month and this month, I kid you not, the whole lesson is how to clean your garden and how to de-weed your garden and how to understand that there's growth within seeds that you can't even see. And so you saying that is just like the universe. Hi.
Circling it back around.
So let's talk about Who Am I? Because
Oh.
I feel that song on such a level. I've listened to it over the past couple months a lot. And at first, because I was like, who am I? Is he singing the Christian song, Who Am I? Because I mean, I'm not against that. I like that song very much. And then I was like, oh, hell yes. Hell yes. Hell yes. I love it. So
He's got
talk
kind
to
of a
me about that
gospel
song.
sound too. Yeah, so that one, oh man, I wrote the lyrics for that in maybe 7 minutes. I had during COVID, when the world was shut down, I had walked into a bar here in the Midwest. Still had stuff that we, with social distancing, we were allowed to do, but and I walked into my home bar. It was an apartment complex with a bar in the center of it that I ran the entertainment during the time I lived there. And so it was kind of my place. And I walked in, and this guy was waiting for me. And he had asked around town about a singer and songwriter. And I call it a 1 in 10, where 1 out of 10 times people actually do what they say they can do. And so he had ended up, we jammed a little bit, and he ended up saying he wanted to work with me. And a couple months later, this is kind of where the Mexico stuff came in, but he texts me while I'm running karaoke at the time, and he's like, "Can you make it to Mexico City?" And I'm like, "No, I don't even have a passport." And he's like, "Okay, I'll bring people to you." And I was like, "All right." So he flew out a gal from Mexico City, a guy from LA, and a guy from Vegas to work on a couple of songs. And he had the acoustic guitar part written, and for the most part, I think we figured it out more in the studio. But it was kind of a test for me to see how I would do. And so we kind of organized the bones of the song in a studio here in just outside of Omaha in Bennington. And all he had for me for a subject matter was, "Who the fuck am I?" I was like, "All right, I can work with that." And just kind of spilled onto the page, and I went in and I did it in just a couple of takes. And so something that the process, as we were talking about earlier, I had a good formula going, but I had to had a lot of development that still needed to happen. That song was kind of an outlier for the time being, because it was just put together so quickly. And I think that as the years have gone on, and took a couple of years to come out, and now when I play it live and I listen to it, I'm like, "Oh wow, that's what I was talking about. I didn't even necessarily know what I was writing about." And I did in a sense, but it just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper for me. And in all, I think that it kind of surmises the difference between the outside world looking at you and then you looking at yourself and looking in the mirror. Who am I really? Who do I want to be? How can I get to where I want to go and battle my own demons at the same time? And it's such a huge task to be able to like look at everything at once and then know just how to do it. So it starts, I think, by looking in the mirror and deciding who you want to be. So that's kind of where I think that song really came from. And then I've realized it as time's gone on.
Yeah, I mean, it could easily be a theme song because I think a lot of the growth, I think a lot of that comes with age. You know, I could be turning into one of the old people that say that, you know, that it comes with age. But I think that I myself, I'm 48, and I think when I was around 40, you know, I probably realized like, oh, we're actually not exactly who we think that we were growing up. That was actually a conditioned part that was given. It was a gift that kept on given and given to us. And now we truly do get to discover who we are. And that is a gift, you know, but I know that that comes with age of realizing that as well.
Yeah, I like to say practice. It takes a lot of little things to add up into those aha moments. And the more that you work on looking for those things, looking inward and trying to figure out yourself in the world that you want to be in, that's where that experience comes from.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, and I like to say too, like there is such a big difference between being happy. I'm like, I could be happy sitting on the couch and watching TV, but being fulfilled is a whole different journey for me. And I think that's where I'm on the, you know, fulfillment journey of this is what I'm meant to do, you know, and this is what I'm doing, and I'm just gonna do it. Like, no question, I'm just gonna do it. And I think that that's the difference is being fulfilled now has become that. You can be happy doing whatever, right? We're conditioned to be happy. But being
Yeah,
fulfilled is different.
be comfortable, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, as we were talking about earlier, the more you do those scary things, the more fulfilled you become. You lived,
All
yay.
right. Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. My mother-in-law passed away last year from cancer. And I had the amazing opportunity to really basically be her caregiver. And it was interesting because she has had this most beautiful life, truly has had this great journey. And at the end, she was like, you do all those things that you want to do. She said, because you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to take all those cruises that my husband and everybody told me were too expensive to do. I think I should have done them. I should have done them, you know? And I'm like, yes. So I think that people need to understand that they can live lives that they really want to live, and you can heal through. You don't have to let that hold you hostage, you know, your pain and trauma and emotions.
I've been one that has let that happen to me in the past, and something that is very consistent when people are starting to near that end of life process is everyone looks back at the things they wish they did, and I want to try to, in my own mind, my goal is to have so many things that I'm proud that I did that it way outweighs the things that I wish I did.
I want to leave a legacy of people that know how to heal themselves because they've been just in so many people's presence that they can do that.
Yeah.
Do you have another song or two that you think, I won't say, I always ask like, what's your favorite song? And that's like, they're all your children. How do you choose? But do you have one or two that would be something that sticks out to you as being one that's more personal?
Oh man, that is tough. It all of my head just wants to reach towards this record that's not out yet because the way that my process works when I involve such emotion and such raw energy there is once I get the songs out, it's like I'm turning a page and I'm kind of I let things go that way usually, yeah, if I can help it. But I'm in the middle of a couple of different records I'm also working on that there's some songs that are, I'm working more on writing about beauty in life, and that's a little bit different for me. I've written a lot of sad stuff, and I like thinking that I can turn those chapters over and be done with them. But yeah, it'll something will always happen, and there'll be more fuel, but. As far as something that is actually available right now, the on that same record that Happy Hour is on with The Party After, there's a track called Symmetrism, and it's very rarely when I'm finished with the song will I be able to still just get chills every single time in any part of a song. And that one, there's an ending section there, a little coda that I cannot listen to it without having, almost an out of body experience with it. And it was during that month that I was down in Mexico City and just scraping at anything, clawing at anything to try to heal from this heartbreak. And I had found out after 6 months of not really understanding what had happened, I had got some information on why the relationship ended, and I had blamed myself the whole 6 months, which don't do that. But I had found out that it really was not my fault at all. There was some decisions made on the other end that directly destroyed the relationship. And I'm just about to go into the vocal booth and do this song, and I didn't have lyrics for that last section. I had the rest of the song figured out, but and in it, I'm kind of singing to myself, and I had still had a lot of feelings for this girl at the time, and so I was singing to her, and I was singing to the universe almost, and all I'm saying is, "Babe, you'll be okay." And when I hear that, the moment was so heavy that I think it'll probably stick with me forever. But being able to go in to the vocal booth and execute off the top of my head and heart like that. They're not the most profound things, but they are the most profound things, And it's very, very simple lyrically, but it's the way it's delivered too. I think you can even hear it in my voice, just the amount of pain that I was feeling. And it's probably one of the most powerful moments in anything I've written to date.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Thank you. So tell me what you have coming up and all that good stuff.
So, as far as so many things, as far as The Party After, the Happy Hour marks the fifth single from the full length album, titled Dopamine Machine. And we are dropping the other five, there's a hidden track. The other five songs come out, I want to say, end of July. Online, and then the CD will be released August 7th. So that I'm very excited for. Some of these songs have been with the band 12, 13, 14 years even. And we've done what we can to resurrect some of the little things that we used to play and loved. And so it's been a long time coming. I'm really excited for that one. And then, of course, this solo record that I'll be doing probably early next year. It's finished. I just have to get through the release process of this, this and that. But it's 14 tracks. It is all about healing and mental health. And I'm just going to tell you the title now. I haven't actually announced the title, so you get it. It's for you, right? But the record is called Fuck You, I Love You. And it's a 14-track album. The first seven songs are the FU side. The second side is the seven songs for I Love You. And it's written to be kind of a reincarnation cycle of a person's life. Starting with just being born into the world and then going through pain and pain and pain and self-hate and all these different things. And then it starts to kind of turn a corner. And then the second side starts with a track called Nakupenda, which in Swahili means I love you. The vibe changes throughout every single song. It's that one of my favorite things to do in my solo stuff is I don't cared to play by the rules and have my sound stick in some certain way. And, I'll do that with certain projects and things, but this was one where, as you listen to the whole record, every single song is vastly different. And it's, I think, one of the most complete things I've ever made.
I love that. I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited to share with my closest too, because I, like I said, I do teach a lot and I have a community that I teach in, but that is literally, we're talking about blooming and we're talking about all these things and trying to focus on, and this is
The whole idea right there, try to be relatable and help at the same time and also get things off my chest.
Yeah, no, I'd love to have you back on once it's out and kind of chit chat through it further. That way you don't have to give everything away on that. I would love that. So talk to me, where can everyone find your music, your videos, all that good stuff?
All of the normal spots, Spotify, Apple, all the streaming services, and YouTube for the videos. And I admit I am not fantastic at the content posting in game. I hate it. I really do. But I firmly believe that if people resonate with what I'm doing, that they'll want to find it. And I try to make it as available as possible. So yeah, Spotify, Apple Music, I think Deezer, whatever your choice of app is. And then you can always get a hold of me, and I ship out CDs constantly. And
That was the guy I was going to ask you if the new one you're releasing, if you'll have a CD, because I've seen you do deliveries locally and things like that.
I ship internationally even too. Then not only will we have a CD, we'll have vinyl coming out for both the Dopamine Machine record and then also for FU, I Love You.
I love that. Is you're going to have some cool artwork with it?
I'm very excited about the artwork. Dopamine Machine, I have announced the album cover in the back, and we're fortunate to work with a guy, Dreaded Graphics. Shout out to Dreaded Graphics. And we as a band, we've all just loved Death Clock and Metalocalypse and that kind of stuff. And when we're doing the thing with the party after, it's was it Jim Carrey had said we're all putting on an act or something like that. So we really wanted to embody kind of some of our more prevalent tendencies in our own characters. And so each of us has our own character, and they're animated, and they're fun. I love it. I'd like to get to making a show one day, but we'll see how that goes.
Oh, that's so fun. So fun. I love that. I think it just came to me why I love the fuck you, I love you, because I'm all about balance. Like all my tattoos and stuff usually are like balance. You can't have one without the other. So I am so excited on that. So as we get here to the end of the podcast, which I love talking to you, so you definitely will have to come back. I ask the same question. I always end it with this. If someone you love or someone, anybody really comes to you because they're struggling with their mental health, depression, anxiety, rumination, whatever it may be, what is some words of wisdom you could share?
Breathe pretty much. Being present is something that I think we struggle with just as a whole species, and it does take a lot of practice. But if you can just breathe and focus on your breathing, that is a first step into feeling okay. You're still here, you're still alive, you're still kicking. And no matter what you're going through, you can come out the other side of it, and you can come out gracefully if you so choose. But it all starts with being in the here and the now and breathing.
The Authentic Life with KL and Break the Silence are two healing missions aligning to support mental health, all wellness and recovery, offering hope and amplifying the light. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life with KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life of KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynne.com, kittylynne.com. Thanks so much for listening.